So this is Claire Midgley, and I'm joined with Gerry Orchard, and we are interviewing for the Dialects and Heritage Project on the 20th of September 2022, and we are speaking to Ian Slighthome. Ian, can I get you to introduce yourself, please?
Well then, I'm Ian Slighthome.
And where do you live, Ian?
Lower Farm, Grosscliffe, Langdale End.
And have you lived here all your life?
Or? No, nearly 40 years.
And what do you do? Roughly.
Well, I suppose everybody would call you a farmer, but I never sort of think of myself as a farmer. More a grazier, I think, more than out, because it's all livestock of one sort and another.
And what type of animals do you have?
Sheep, cattle, suckler cows, shorthorns. We used to milk them, like what you would call Dale shorthorns, Northern Dairy shorthorns. And Scott Sheep, have 200 Scotty Owls up moor. And then all sorts of different odds and ends and rare breeds inside. And I have 16 goats at present, milk a few for those. And feed pet lambs with them and what have you. And trade in them a bit. And if a few pigs, God knows why, because that's a... Well, I can't stop myself keeping them. I think that's top and bottom, isn't it? But they're hardly worth bothering with. But anyway, I've a few pigs and poultry. I've a lot of hard English game. I've had them since I was about 10 years old. Same lot.
Ah, so you've just kept going. Kind on
of kept
them.
Breeding them, yeah.
And was you always brought up in this kind of agricultural world?
Yeah.
And what kind of? Has your interest always been, do you have like an animal that you're particularly interested in, like sheep, or we know that you obviously show sheep and judge sheep?
Well, I used to show them, I didn't show them, no. No, okay. I still do a bit of judging. They're aggravating beggars. Like, I think if it comes, if it sort of, probably prefer cattle, really, because we've had them, like, these shorthorns, you know. But yes, I can't help myself with sheep, like, sort of... Every time I go out, I say as if I buy a few sheep and come back with them. It's a bit like drinking and smoking.
Healthy.
Well, I don't know about that.
Right on there, maybe not even. Yeah.
And how long have you been judging for, Ian? How long have you judged sheep for?
Then you've asked me something. I don't know.
Generally, not like...
Well, I got my first Jacob sheep in 69, which was just before... Jacob Sheep Society started. I got an RDO from West Eslington Farms for Darnies, and then I got a pet lamb off Archie Jones at Garraby when I was manager there, and I couldn't find the tup anywhere. Anyway, I found it at Flamingoland. Got a Jacob tup for Flamingoland. So there wasn't so many about at all in them days, and that's so I got to start with Jacobs. And I've been on judging panel, well, I was on judging panel and I'm a life member, but I've started, when they started in 69, I was one of the first members at Jacob Sheep Society.
There can't have been many people breeding Jacobs then, was there?
No, not so many. They weren't nearly all in, like, parks, you know, like Lord Halifax's or National Trust properties and that sort of thing. There was very few about, not to what there is nowadays, like, they're sort of everywhere, aren't they? Yeah.
I was going to say, they're a lot more popular now, aren't
That's
they?
That's right, yeah. But I don't, you know, they don't register myself anymore and I don't show them anymore, you know. Mind if I registered everything I had and, yeah, I sort of give up with Breed Society job.
Yeah. And judging-wise, you must have seen, talk to us about judging, you must have seen some, had some fun antics at some
shows.
Oh, I haven't
seen now,
judging
so
over the years.
Maybe out not to mention names. we've had a bit of all sorts, yeah. I had a weather lamb, yeah, then a bunch of gimmer lambs.
A weather lamb?
Aye, a castrated male lamb. But you sort of had to check, you never know whether that made a mistake or they were trying us out.
Yeah. Easy to check, I suppose.
We've had all sorts. Yeah, I was showing you out there, and judge made the mistake of asking this gentleman who shall remain nameless what sort of a job he'd made, and he put him down, like. And so I told him, he says, well, he said, you looked at their faces, and you went round to the other end, and you looked up their eyes, and you hadn't a clue what you were looking for. And oh, we've had some does at times. There's been fisticuffs a time or two. Really? Like. In fact, yeah. Jacob seemed to be pretty bad for it, really. But anyway.
They were a strong animal, aren't they?
Ah, well, it's not animals, it's folks that's yelling
well,
them.
People, but problem. The animals themselves are strong.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They can be.
I'm a tangle with them.
But they get job off if you've got them brought in late. Oh, yeah. They want to be somewhat late. Yeah, and then that took me a pulling it filled with pickup and he would jump in it back like it was that he used really? To being carted about and shouting and that. But I mean, I sort of started with that because my dad showed cows, you see, and it was some, you know, I took them when we went showing beer. So, like, he would do about 14 or 15 shows a year with cows. Frank Slater, he used to take them for us. Well, Tony Wilson, driving for Frank Slater. And we used to put tied thread at front. Mm-hmm. We used to make like a sheet out of them hard Hessian pulp bags, split them, and put them up cold to stop them getting mucky, because we wash them there before, because that sort of bottomed them, so you could get them wash better at shower like. So we'd get up at 4 o'clock at morning, milk, fiddle all these cows, a band round the neck to tail, and tie their tails up to its side so they couldn't swish them about, then put this sheet over them, and a band round under the necks at front, and yarn under their tails to stop them from sliding your way up to them, and another yarn round back of their ox, and tie three to it front, and then put plenty of room behind and plenty of straw to get the, you know, to see it went muck splashed, it didn't splash them all up, and then put some sideways in at back. And like, as time went on and started showing a joke for old Jacobs, we'd have a little bit at front and put them in there. So that's how I sort of got to start. And I showed banties as well at time, you know, poultry. So they could go in a box and take them, so, you know, a bit of something else to do at the same time.
So when you were growing up, it was kind of, I'm assuming that was like your day out, your trip out, you know, going to shows.
Yeah.
And did you used to like sleep in the trailers or did
well,
you
we
stay
used to
overnight?
Only stayed at Yorkshire Showers, only on where you stayed. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we'd go up Sunday and come back up on Thursday night, like. But I used to say it was my dad's only vice. But you know, it's a plain job, like, if it's good weather at home, because nearly all of us was airtime in weather at Yorkshire, shall we? And as I grow up, I tended to stop at home and airtime, because it's all right showing the bloody things if you've now to feed them only winter, isn't it? You used to annoy me a bit at times.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a bit of a balancing act, Clay. Yeah.
And what about changes in kind of like machinery in your lifetime so far? You must have seen quite a lot of change with agricultural machinery. Do you have like any memories of any particular machines that you were fond of? Any particular tractors?
I've never been right fond of machines. No, I've never been much for tackle. Like. I mean, I could drive. We always had little international tractors. Jim Bean Root Connery had farts and majors. All the slight sound of them, they all sound grand, especially just ticking out of the, you know, they're just going to listen to him, it's grand, like, they're marvellous. But we all had little internationals, my dad said they were, them hard majors couldn't pull an hard enough nest, like. So we went for them. But when my granddad, Bailby, when he died, we ended up with a lot of his diaries, and it just show all things that changed. He had his dad for 1928, and it'd be ploughing in such a field on this day, and then ploughing in it same field next day. And if it would go on late, it would be about a week of this job. And then it said, got metal plough. And then following day, it said, ploughed with metal plough.
Yeah.
So that was 1928. So up to then, they must have been ploughing with a wooden one.
Yeah.
And then his diary for 70, I think it was 70 fowler. It said, I think it was fowler. Bale hay with big rolled bales, lift up with far end loader. And there's a biro picture of some round bales and a little stick tractor, you know, lifting a bale up at loader. Like. So in that bit of time, for 50 year. We'd gone for ploughing with a wooden plough to round bales.
Yeah,
which is amazing, really. I ain't moved on since then at all. No, I'm pretty art fashioned. Yeah, me granddad and his cousin, Reg Bailby, he had a little field at Spittle, we call it Little Harfield, and we mowed that behind three of us, just to say we could do it, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a light. And we were off to use it on it behind, because it was only about an acre, just before you got to the bridge at Spittle, and then at Cornslouses.
So when you say you were turning it by hand...
What, with a fork?
Yeah.
Aye.
God, that's a lot of work.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh, and we used to grow wuzzles. They always grow wuzzles at the same field, Grandad Bay down there, because it's the air crop you can grow up. Grows better at the same ground every year. And if it was our wet to get muck spread on for it cosy winter, we used to go and just tip a layer of muck up there. It was sandy land and just level it about and plough it in, like, so it got plenty of muck on it. And you could grow some wuzzles, like, we had some, you know, fair wuzzles at times. And but when we went to pull them, like, we would pull, you would pull three rows up and three rows back, and then tow rows, so that tractor trail could go down. But we used to go down and put out Lightlands at bottom, because we had to go through village. So put all the Atlans at bottom, then come back and put all the big ones up top. So we always had big ones up to show.
When you came through the town, aye, they saw the big...
So we went through village, we always had big ones, went any small ones.
Yeah.
But they used to hear things like that in them days, because they were proud of what they did like.
Mm. Yes. It's a different philosophy now, you just churn out, don't you?
Oh, aye. Yeah. No one has. It's sort of wax, like, it's a dirty word, isn't it? Like, if you know, it's avoiding wax, the thing, isn't it? Yeah. You know, you're bloody crackers if you reckon to be doing a lot of work, like. Yeah. But anyway, different terms, weren't they?
As you say.
Mm. And they always seemed, you know, there's always a lot on us, a lot of village lads who used to, you know, cowshed would be full when we're milking on a night, like. You know, there'd be half a dozen lads while we're milking, like.
Would they sometimes come down and give you a hand, or...?
Well, sort of, but they goes that quiet, you know. Yeah. Oh, it's off play darts while we're milking, like.
Social event.
Well,
just put a dartboard at the end of the milking shed.
Yeah. Oh, well, why not, like?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
It's
good call. Mm.
So growing up, was you part of, like, Young Farmers or anything like that, Ian? Or...
Well, not really. I did go odd times, but no, not really.
And was there anything kind of social-wise that you used to do? Did you do any domino drives, beetle drives, or anything, dances, or...?
Well, not really. Went to the pub, but when I sort of got hard in here, like, but yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. We just bled out, see, coaching.
Yeah.
Folks used to come to us, I said, you know, there was always lads about, kicking about, like, on a night. There was always somebody about. Yeah.
And did you, on your milk, with your milking, did you deliver any milk? Did
No, just sell it.
Just sell it.
Yeah.
And what about, kind of, I know that you said you've moved up here more recently, but have you seen much change in that time here? To the village, like, to your nearest village?
Oh, yeah,
and...
Bloody hopeless, isn't it, mate? Farms, you know, they come up to sell and they sell the house off and some still live in it, like, and land goes to somebody else, something like next door, that half on it's planted with trees. There's nobody left, really, basically. Like, it's changed a hell of a lot since where you come here. It's like, when we come here, it was like it's moving up country. It was more like it was when we were kids down yonder.
Yeah.
But it's sort of catched up with us now. And it's, they're all holiday cottager, doctors, accountants, and incomers. Folks with money. Yeah. Aye, off come, and really, like. You see, you know, going about community, but in the community, there's just a lot of folk. Nobody's bothered about, like, you used to help me, like, folks say, oh, yeah. I mean, there's always folks falling out, like, you know.
Yeah.
But then, most folks are related, like. Because, like, Slaytom, you know, my dad's family originally, they were all reckoned to come from Whitby originally, but they were at Farndale, at West Gill at Farndale, and around Fadmer and Gillimer in them days. But like they also say about found early them days, if you kick your hand, they are limp. Because they were that close bred, like, you know. Well, my granddad, there was 12 in my granddad's family, and three brothers married three sisters, which was a common enough thingy them days, wasn't it, like?
Mm. Yeah. No, it definitely
was. No, it's changed altogether. And it continues to change, like, because they keep selling their farms, and it's all, you know, folks that come in.
Yeah, break them up.
Yeah, that's how it goes all the time, like. Yeah. You know what I mean? Young folks, they can't afford to pay. You know, there's a little cottage down the road there. It's just been sold at £895,000. When we came here, it was derelict. I admit it had no electric, no water. They've done a hell of a lot at it. I'm saying that, but it was £12,000 when we came here, was that cottage.
Yeah.
And I mean, all the hell, like, you know, and a lot on them, like, toe up and toe down, they're £500,000. Well, how can young folks afford £500,000? You know, they're only ovals, but
yeah.
I mean, they aren't spots, like, they want to make bigger windows and that because they're gloomy. Well, folks didn't live it, bloody old. Well, they only come in to eat and sleep. Right. They were outside out of town.
Doing stuff in the fields. Yeah, and that's the animals. Right.
But nowadays, they're all gloomy for these folks. They want permission to brave bloody well out and put a great window in because they're out of town, never come out. Not say how much about it, but you know, they're at computer. I've never seen them. Biggest part, I've never seen them. Say, go through villages now. Well, don't say they used to be art folks on a push by gardening, you know, there are developments and such like. Nowadays, there's a street full of cars, and you never see a soul. You can go through a village, and I'd maybe see somebody walking a dog, and that's about it. You never see a soul, do you?
Mm.
No.
Commuters.
You used a bush beat as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't. I got when I was at Garraby, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really. Why? you used to be bloody cards sometimes. Absolutely frozen, like.
Did you take dogs with you, or...?
No, I was only a band, like.
Right.
Yeah, when I first started, I think it was £2 in a bottle of pop. For a day's, but you know, a big bottle of pop. Yeah. That was most attraction, was a bottle of pop. There was I can't remember what they called it, planting the top of that hill just as you go out from Pig and Whistle into Boat Trip, you know. You maybe didn't notice Pig and Whistle. What was Lenny Ashbury's up main road side there? Stands just about half, right at road end where you go out. Going down Garraby Hill and past Woodyard and that, and it's up left hand side, and then it road up to Boat Trip, so right. That was Pig and Whistle. It had been a pub at some time.
Ah.
And when you went over that bank into Buckthorpe, there's a planting on there, on the left up, little top.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when there were about 4 foot high, these pine trees, and it had come some snow, and we had to go through there, and they're, bloody hell, that was first drive at morning, and I was
freezing.
Absolutely. It was all right, as long as you kept moving. Man, they did tend to do that with bands, they would keep them moving all day, to keep them warm, like, because, you know, you get starved standing, don't you, like. To fellas, they'll stay them on stops, you know, stopping edge, and they'd be there all day. I'd Norman Grace, he used to take a bag of kindling with him and make a fire to keep warm.
Did you do shorter days, I'm guessing, as a child when you were beating? Was it just like...
Oh, no, it's them days, everybody else. Yeah.
Same day.
Yeah.
God, you must have been frozen in winter then.
I was, because I ain't good circulation, no, my feet gets scarred. But if you kept moving, it wasn't so bad. I mean, yeah, we got to some different country that would never have seen it, and it was interesting. And some of them, they used to let a day or two off the Americans and French and that first few days, and down at Deepdale below Cotton Ab there, they used to, by hell, they were high, them pheasants. If you got a good spot where you could see them, you know, they had to be a bloody good shot to hit them. By the way, they were tremendously high. And when by the time they come down, them pheasants, and they... Chalk Road at bottom, they just went to, just smashed the bits. They were that far up. Just smashed the bits.
What about thinking country life, and sometimes people have certain traditions with food and meals.
Mm-hmm.
So do you, for example, do you have Yorkshire puddings before you have your Sunday dinner?
Yes, I always had them first.
With gravy?
Aye. And a little, my grandma, you say, well, there was a bit of a thing in our family because Grandma Slater and Uncle make tremendous Yorkshire puddings, and my mother thought she could never make puddings. I think somebody must have mentioned at some time that hers weren't as good as my grandma's later on, so she was always a bit touchy about Yorkshire puddings. And Grandma Bale, Nana Bale, she wasn't very good at making Yorkshire puddings because she went up and your own dear to have a look at them to see how they were going on, and that lets eat out, and then say they would come out sad, you say. You say, oh, it was a big going on with Yorkshire pudding, getting Yorkshire puddings right. And then we'd have them first, and then to, what they used to say, then we'd have me a pudding, can I have me a meat? Like, fill you up a pudding first. But Grandad Bay Alice, he also wanted, he also have Yorkshire pudding first, with gravy and that on, and then at dinner, and then have another bit of Yorkshire pudding with treacle on.
For, yeah, like a sweet one.
But sweet, aye.
Yeah.
And it's summertime, which sometimes they tin peaches for dinner time, and a bit of ice cream in them last little glass bowls. I used to want them eat. And but my dad always had bread and butter with his with peaches. I didn't know why he had bread and butter with peaches, but he did.
Peaches.
Yeah.
And bread and butter.
Aye.
Some people used to do like sugar butties, didn't they?
Ah, that's right. Yeah. Edgar Smallwood, when they had silver grid at chip shop down at Bottom at Marketplace at Moulton, it was a rougher hot spot, wasn't that? And Edgar Smallwood used to get to, they used to have a great idea of white sliced bread and with margarine. This odd lass used to be buttering and putting them on here, and then they would cut them. Of course, he had margarine or beer sad just here. And Edgar Smallwood used to get them and put them in a sugar bowl, and he used to say, American sandwich, and foul it up near it.
American sandwich, huh? I've never heard that one.
Put that way.
Yeah. So, did you make any butter? Milk, you use your own milk from cows?
We made butter, yeah.
Did you ever have a goat do that?
Oh, yes, aye. Yeah, everybody out to have a go, because it's, you know, when butter comes, like, it's marvellous, isn't it? Like, it's like a miracle.
I've never made butter. I've made bread. never made butter.
Oh, well, like I say, I mean, Nana, she was sort of be charged. Well, she was commandant when it come to house. And meal times, we had dinner at half past 12, whether it was red or black. But, I mean, it was usually right, like, because everything had to, you know, went towards, it's all about keeping men going in them days, wasn't it, like? Mm. Yeah, but you aren't allowed it house. You know, if you turned up at house on a hard, wet winter's day, like, and you, what's up? You know, and out today, if you've out today, go chop some sticks. You know, you aren't allowed in, you know, unless you were badly, and then it was fairly grudging, you were late in.
Gun tie in that corner.
Ah, that's right. But I had it, letting Chelsea sit on and make Christmas puddings in bowls, you know, and then steam them, and then they would hang up at pantry. All that sort of stuff, and pickled onions, and pickled cabbage, and chutney, and all sorts of jams and that for winter, And bake, like, because, you know, you had a bit of baking day, and so we eating washed on a Monday, so we had egg and chips on a Monday dinner time, and you know what we're going to get. In fact, actually, there was a sort of fairly standard menu all the time. You'd been here. What you're going to get throughout week, like. But egg and chips was, because it was Wednesday, it was Monday, like, we had egg and chips. And we had a lad, Pete, he come on work experience, and he used to turn up, he come up bike for a park, about 7 mile, but he would, because he knew my dad got calls in to start milking at 6, so my dad used to, he used to get up about 60, my dad, and he would be 6:30 pretty good a minute, but when it was Pete's day, cows would be collecting, he'd landed up and gotten cows in, so he could have a cup of tea with my dad before he started milking, then he was there to have his breakfast, you say, and then he'd get his dinner, then we used to give him his tea at night, and then my dad felt sorry for him, so he would tack him back on a night, with bike to Portlaoise. So it was a, so this particular Monday, my mother was washing and she had it best to home her. I don't know why, but she had it best. And she went egg and chips. So she said, "How many eggs do you want, Pete?" He said, "Oh, easy." She says, "Well, how many do you want? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ah, he says, 5 will do nice." I can see it brain him upside the pan.
5 eggs.
5 fried eggs, he had it painted a great ear for chips. But he was about doing it today, it was poor Ben, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Good lad was Pete.
And did you have any traditions around Christmas or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I sat around glowering at one another. Bloody hell, Christmas.
That's changing families,
is it? No, God, it was a bloody... It was sort of... When you're little, you don't realise this, but as you get harder, my granddad's brother, Willie, used to come, and my nana was very auntie. And say, hey, you know, she was... Everything was like traditional Christmas, like, but she was... Alice a bit sort of comical about him, you know. And she was funny, was my nana. She hadn't opened her presents. She never opened her presents in public. You give her them and I'll open them later. And it was just bloody strange, really.
Yeah.
But it was like there's a level of slight on it to chop your head at Gillamond.
Mm.
In fact, a relation of mine built it.
Oh wow!
Church.
Pop that on for me.
Sorry,
no. He built Gillamore Church.
Mm.
Was he stern, like a stern
yeah.
person? Yeah.
I think they called him Smith, and my ancestors married a Smith in about 1740. Found it, and this youth built Gillamore Church. Like, it was a thing at while.
Ah. So we chatted about Christmas, weren't we? Before my battery ran out. Did you have a stocking? Did you get a satsuma or an orange in it?
Yes, that sort of stuff, yeah. Well, it was a pillowcase, actually.
We got
a bit of stuff like that, yeah.
Did you do anything, traditions around, like, New Year or anything? Like
no, not
first
really.
First footing or anything like
no.
that?
No.
Bonfire night?
Yeah, well, I said a bonfire.
Do you have
yeah.
a Guy Fawkes? Or
oh,
just a...
yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Mischief Night, that was the biggest thing. Bigger thing than Bonfire Night was Mischief Night. Oh, we used to do all sorts of loving things. You know, tack foot to get... Well, I'd Whopper Edmund, we used to tack his gates up and put the buggers back on next year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I used to get crazed in Whopper, like we used to do all sorts, you know.
And was this you and your milking pals?
Tying doors together. If you got cottages next to one another and tight doors up, so you can brown both doors and just have a bit of slack so they were opening and shutting doors and all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah, but you know, go and break out door because he was crazy. You know, he used to get crazy. He used to break out door and put a bit of band like and he would run after you and all his length. Oh, he used to get into some bother hour. But yeah, it was big thing was Mischief Night. I enjoyed that. Licensed to be holy guns.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad said they used to, there was some building where they lived at, I think it was Warden Yonkland, they were doing some new old building, and the lady with so many cars of bricks with coal on Mischief Night.
Oh, I love that. I mean, it's not something I celebrate, Mischief Night. It's not something
I don't know. Well, but like the day of this first footing and Halloween, which we didn't really do much at Halloween at all, really. Mischief Night was the thing.
Yeah, Halloween's more American, isn't it, really? Mischief.
Aye, I think that sort of thing, over, yeah. Mm. Well, I didn't know it's yeah. come hour, but yeah. where they go about it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. They're big on it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they? Yeah.
We do a bit for Halloween.
Does anybody do a Mischief Night then?
I've never done it.
Aye.
And we don't do it. School have just started doing pace egg rolling.
Aye.
They want to bring back that tradition of doing, you know, so we had to do the hard boiled egg.
Aye.
Decorate it and then they took it to the big hill to roll it.
Aye.
Roll it down.
Yeah.
Did you ever do anything like that?
Yeah. Because there's a little valley down at Low Catton, isn't there? we have to go down there indeed. Yeah, because they, I mean, they aren't really out, mm-hmm. you know, very brant at Goldrop, like, for out to Rowell Down, you know. I mean, that wasn't a big one, but it was, you know, it was, I didn't know who come, but it was, there was a little valley there, and we used to go down there. Because that my grandma's late home was at Stamford then, you see, so it was handy for her. Yeah.
And did you used to dye them in, like, peelings or food colours?
Yeah, I think onion skins they used to use them to dye them, like, in folk, aye, like folk colouring.
Mm.
Well, they always had, you know, bits of folk colouring about for baking.
Did you celebrate harvest or anything? Did you do anything?
Yeah, well, I said, yeah, harvest festival and that, yeah.
No, and was that done in the church or in the village hall, or was it, was anything when you were
as many as we could get puckered in, you know, church and chapel and all the villages and all, because you got something to eat, didn't you, like? And then miss out on something to eat.
Scram going.
Aye. Like Tony Potter says, he liked a funeral better than a wedding because you got just as much to eat and you didn't take a present. There's no, like, I mean, is it, you know, like,
I totally agree.
You want a good dough at a funeral, don't you? Like, this plastic COVID job, that's, you know, it's not funeral job at the head, isn't it? And it was always, like, poor farm if you didn't have a good dough at a funeral, if you didn't, you know, have a bit of a bun fight. Like, it was a very poor dough, wasn't it? Yeah. I would also like harvest festivals, like. Definitely.
And was that always done, like, on the last day of harvest, or was it set in stone the date for you, or for harvest festival?
No, it was up to the folks, wasn't it? And we just went along. because, I mean, there'd be a lot of times and the harvest festival, harvest would be no light near our times, would it? But, yeah.
Did you do any corn dollies?
No, nothing like that. I mean, there was somebody did them. There was some, all of some about, like. But, you know, we didn't do any of that sort.
No.
But yeah, generally, you took something, get something, you know, for the harvest festival. And then there was generally auction after, like. I remember Ian down here at Langdale End, and there were some grapes that made a lot of money, and our lass says, "Wow," he says, you can get them a lot cheaper than that at Tesco's. We've sort of mispointed a bit.
Yes.
Hey.
Did you do a lot of, like, foraging when you were younger? Bramble picking?
All that sort of stuff, yeah. Yeah, apples. Mushrooms. Yeah, we got a lot of mushrooms or something. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, like, nobody wants to be bothered on, do you? I ain't time to be messing on mac and jam. Nobody wants to be bothered with it nowadays, do they? Well, not, I mean, some folks do, but not as a rule.
I think I've made 6 apple pies in the last just over a week.
Aye.
Because of the amount of apples we've got.
Oh, we've plenty of apples, and these cookers, they do keep fairly well, but every discovery. Eating apple tree, and they didn't last long off tree, which is absolutely laden this time. It was full on. Man, there's a lot everywhere, a lot of fruit everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody says, "Oh, it's a sign of a bad winter." And Farber Taylor said, "Nah, it's a sign of a good summer."
That's no sense.
Yeah, well, yeah. You never know, do you, really?
No.
But it's just like we only had 2 apples on her last year. It was a frost like when it was a bloom, so that, you know, when it blossoms, that makes all the difference, didn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
What about, you must have seen some hard winters, even up here, in, you know, recently.
Yeah, well, it was about 2010, we had about a month snow at Grundley. I mean, lately, if we've had a bit, it hadn't stopped long, that thing. But 60... be 62, 63 when I was at, we were off scale for ever so long. Even down there, like, there was a lot of snow. And it was out, Grund was covered in snow that long that when it thawed, all grass was yellow. You know, like, if you ever a bit of wood up grass and you lift it up, grass is gone yellow. It was like that.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that since. say it had been hundreds now that long. Like it was, but it was a change to say to, you know, to say a different colour for a white, really. It seemed to last a long while.
Because I think it was it 2019 that we had quite a bit of snow as well, like just a few years ago. Because that blocked all our drive. Our drive was covered.
It didn't last 5 minutes, did it? That...
Well, it was a few. It was about a week for us. First man couldn't get down. Week.
That's one out.
It's a walk on the top.
No,
to
if
get
you,
down.
You got me, Dad. Going on there, we're at Scardale above Milton Pastures at our college farm in 1947. And we used to get 1947 every winter. Oh, now it was like 1947. There were 9 weeks and never saw it, postman. Yeah, but you know, the drift's 15 foot high, aren't they? Then, like, that's some blooming snow then.
We've got some great pictures in the museum archive of the snow of 47.
Aye. Yeah, but there was a fair bit of it, like 62, 67, but there was some snow then, like, and it lasted a long while. That's a difference, isn't it? But that 2010, it was about a month, it makes a difference to how much grub stuff he eats, didn't it? When they can get it out, like, there was a bit of length poking through, they got, you know, sheep could get a bit, but, you know, they ate some stuff when it's, you know, when grub's covered like that, like.
Have you ever had to dig any animals out of the snow?
Well, only the sort of like a big gutter hole at Side Road, and I've had the animal sort of floundered into that, like. But no, not we aren't bothered with, you know, we're nearly all fences. There is a wall at all, like, but no, I haven't been bothered. Since we've been here, we haven't had that quantity of snow, like.
No.
Which I suppose the boat, really.
It's beautiful round here. I've never been down this way, but it is beautiful. Are you a bit off the beaten track for kind of walkers and things like that, or do you get quite a few walkers?
We don't get so many now. We're fairly quiet, like.
Yeah.
Get a hell of a lot at Forest Drive. And get a few through Blakey, because the land goes nearly through to Salter's Gate.
Because you're not far off Salter Gate,
no,
are
no,
you?
No. It's about, it used to be 6 miles. Revered it pub.
That's gone.
Fire's gone out.
Yeah, fire has gone out and a bit more. Fireplace is gone.
Aye. Okay, so about you go and take some chairs and light a fire and sit round.
That's a good idea.
Well, not that I used to go very often, but you know, I used to go at times. I can't remember what you were on about then. What were we on about?
We were on about winters.
Oh,
that
winters,
was how
aye.
We...
aye, that's how we got...
hard winters.
Aye, yeah. Aye, snow's grand, isn't it, on a Christmas card?
Yes.
Yeah, a bit like Hunt. It's grand on a Christmas card, isn't it? As far away as possible, same as snow.
Yes.
And I'm just going to ask you a little bit about... past, and then we'll move on to some dialect questions. But school days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the best days of your life. That's
were they?
My auntie said to me, I said, bloody hell, so I'm in for a bloody poor lot then.
Yeah.
Aye. Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
Bishop Wilton.
Yeah, Bishop Wilton.
And then Wallgate at Pocklington.
Mm-hmm. And then did you do anything post that? Or did you just go straight out to work?
No, I got away as soon as ever I could. I actually left school when I was 15.
Oh.
Because I take my exams and then I sort of ran out today, so I wasn't 15 about November, so I left a little bit before I was 16.
And when you were at school, was it a big class? Was you part of a big, was the school populated? Was it?
Oh, I was a fair lot at Bishop Wilton, like, yeah. But, you know, they were mostly sort of, you know, local folks then, like local kids. Really. There wasn't many that come from away, you know, just on then. Yeah. I used to live to a cows grazing village green at Wilton when I went to school. Like, if it's a money folks, you used to turn cows out of grain. They tell me it cost £3,000 to cut all grass after cows had gone and still cut it like the bit you cut. And all roadsides and that, you know, round about was all grazed with beasts.
A bit like Beverly Westwood.
Yeah. But I mean, they, years ago, they used to sell them off, didn't they? The council used to sell roadsides off to folks to graze. You know, not folks and bands, they used to tend them, like. Yeah, I remember that Fred Sissons at Bishop Wilton sitting on an upturned bucket tenting cows.
Oh.
Aye. It was a different one. We used to have scale dinners, was it Village Hall, down at bottom at Village, and Mrs. Green would put us to... Well, they used to fetch it for a pocker, but it was sort of hard, you know, they used to have a great thing with custard and gravy, like annals outside, like a great thermos thing, but a big one, you know, and then great hot tins, but I think she had to warm them up a bit sometimes because they were cold, you know. But we had to walk down Village in a crocodile pairs, and reckon to be able to sense, and then have our dinners down there and then walk back. Like, yeah. Full, well, very near full length. It was down below Fisher's Village Hall, you know, and went back of there at that time, like, when it was an art wooden and just before you got to chapel, and we used to walk down and walk back again at dinner time. But they called me Pop Off at school because I had a... Because it was 2 mile, might be 2 mile. I think it's about 2.5 bit road. But if you cut across, Hutchison's Fields, you could and come up bit Poland's, you could cut corner off like. Anyway, I went home. I had in the time, I skipped off because I had a banty sitting, and I wanted to see if she'd come off because there was some stretched at morning. See, I went. I walked back home, and when I got back to the registration, I went out there, but I didn't get into bother with Jackie. But yeah, because he used to get candy, that sod. And anyway, he asked us where I'd been, and I said, well, I just popped off home, you say, to say this end. So after that, everybody called us Pop Off.
Oh, I like that. That's nice. Nice.
Nicknames.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay, so do you want to do the questions, Jerry, so it's not my voice, or do you want me to do them?
I think you have a much better delivery than I have.
Oh, my way.
It's my sort of distorted Yorkshire accent, is maybe, you know, bit of Yorkshire, bit of Lancashire, bit of Austrian.
I thought that it was his Secretary General at Commonwealth yesterday. She spoke very well. She did reading from Corinthians, didn't she, at funeral, and I thought she was did a real good job. She spoke very well. Make a preacher, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Liz Truss, I wouldn't get tokens for. Bloody hell. I mean, you really want to sharp a little bit when you're doing psych like, don't you? It was as if she were reading it for first bloody time, wasn't it?
Ooh. Yeah.
This was the Queen's funeral.
This aye. Is interesting times ahead, let's say.
Oh, hello, aye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aye.
Where are the leaders?
Aye, you well.
Know, what are we doing? What are we, you know, where are the leaders? The true leaders. Do we need a war?
We've got one.
We've got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I met a man, says it, because like Farlandales is just there. He says, your troubles will be howled with if I'd built it. Aye. And he's only at Bunniston. I said, well, you'll be singed down your side at Bunniston, won't it?
Bunniston's doomed. Well, you've got GCHQ, you've got Ganton.
I had that thing.
What we're going to do is I'm going to ask you what you call these things on these cards, and then I'm going to ask you a few questions. But before we start, so could I just get you to just tell me, where did you grow up? So where did you spend the majority of your childhood and teenage years?
At Yolthorpe, near Bishop Wilton.
And we've got where you live now. Any other places that you've lived that you might think might be relevant?
No.
Have you always lived in Yorkshire?
Yeah.
Have your parents always lived in Yorkshire?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you call this creature?
A prickly back urchin.
What do you call these?
Dragonflies. Not dragonflies. Daddy long legs, if I'm bloody tell.
And what about these ones?
Well, they're here, the twitch bells are forky robins.
Yep.
Yeah, the witcher beeth.
And what do you call this type of garden weed?
Arab.
That's the one with the sticky bits that you stick.
Yeah, Arab. Yeah. Aye. Some folks call them cleavers, don't they? We always call them Arab.
And this is a drop of...
What, water?
Something else. You might say it's a something drop. Dew drop?
Oh, well, aye. I suppose, yeah.
This is a bag of...
Goodies.
What do you call one of these?
Well, a bread bun.
And how many... What do you call one of these?
Scone.
And how many are there in the picture? Not one, not two, but...
Right.
And if there was another one?
A bit sour.
And what's your word?
I can hear me maths.
What's your word for these?
Spring onion.
And what's this?
Yeah.
So this is a person giving somebody a...
Well, if a piggyback.
That's it. And what do you call this?
See, that's politically correct now, isn't it? They have a woman carrying a fella about, you say.
I didn't pick the picture.
No, no.
What about this one?
Say, sir.
So, these are just two sentences, and I'd like to know how you complete them. So, he asked me to fix it, and, blank, no way, do it yourself. So what would you put in there? Would you say, he asked me to fix it, and I was like, no way, do it yourself. I went, I said, or something else.
I thought, probably.
I doubt. That's okay. And then the final one like this.
Do it yourself.
Do it yourself, yeah. That's what it has.
The food was something tasty.
Very. But I wouldn't have said that anyway.
What would you say?
Well, I said it was grand. Yeah. Or something like that.
Meat tasty or something.
No, I wouldn't have bothered with tasty. Yeah. No, at all. It was grand.
It was grand. Okay. What do you call in a room in a house for storing food?
Pantry.
If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
Well,
what words do you use for something to eat?
Oh, do you mean?
So if it got to, you had your breakfast.
Aye.
Do you have anything?
Breakfast.
Do you have anything in between breakfast and
dinner? No.
Is it dinner or lunch?
Ah, dinner.
And then between that and your evening meal?
Day.
Would you have anything afterwards?
At supper? Yeah, I've had about 14 meals a day.
Well, when you're active.
Well, I didn't know if you had allowance or 10 o'clock or anything like that.
No, we used to allowance when we were working at Fields, like, yeah, definitely. But I never bothered with, you know, some folks did, didn't they, allowance in the morning, but... No, I didn't, as a rule. I had my breakfast to start with and then didn't have dinner time. Like. Mm-hmm.
What do you call a coffee you might get from a cafe with lots of milk in?
Horrible. No, I didn't sup it. And I try to avoid cafes if I can anyway. So, no, I didn't sup coffee.
What's the dairy product that you spread on toast and sandwiches?
What, butter?
Which word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game when points cannot be scored?
Temporary break in a game? Oh, I didn't bother about bloody games. What, okay. Half-time?
Maybe, yeah. If you fall over in the in the playground, we've gone back a little bit, your knee might be...
Scrubbed.
If you got covered in dirt, when you get home, you might need to get in the... Not shower, the other one.
Bucket.
And if you
well, just at present. I've been on just with the, because I've frightened we would run out of water. And it's been, yeah, anyway, so I ended up stove on. See, I've just been, had a bucket and stood it at bath light. Well, it's been, but no, it's carter underneath a late stove. I never bath. Yeah. Once a week. Get bath done off well.
When children are very excited, you might say they're full of.
full of what? Beans, I suppose.
At the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you were absolutely... Which word would you use to mean not attending school?
Scarving.
Sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. What do you call this mysterious person?
A bogeyman.
You grow crops and raise animals on a... You grow crops and raise animals on a...
Farm?
Yeah. When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes, or wellies, would get covered in...
Muck.
When driving in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are...
Slap.
Which word do you use as a term of endearment, even with strangers?
Only.
What word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive?
Oh, well, just be careful here.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's dodgy ground.
Well, no, you might say that.
I ought to say, she seems like a nice young lady. You That's a euphemism. Bonnie. She's a bonnie lass.
Very diplomatic.
Aye, bonnie lass, that's what you would say.
What is your word for spreading rumours?
Why? Gossip.
If a picture is not hanging straight, it's hanging...
Why? Skew with.
What do you call a very small piece of wood that you've got in your finger?
A spell.
What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler.
Do you have any other words that you'd like to tell us about? Do you have any words or sayings or anything that you say that perhaps if you said it, I don't know, in a conversation in a pub, someone might turn around and go, what? What was that?
Oh, I have plenty of them. I can't just...
Can you admit to them?
Yeah,
Eddie,
you think
want,
on them.
Eddie, you want to share with us?
Can you admit it? Just at present. My granddad used to say when he had, you know, if he had a bit of band and he couldn't get not loose, and he said, "Burr, this is a bonny con taffleman to you." That's sort of a, like, made up thing, I think, isn't it? Like, if it's a money together.
It's very descriptive.
Yeah. We sometimes come across that, though. We say that we can adopt words, so we move somewhere, and if they use ginnel, snicket, we start using beck, stream, we start using it.
Yeah.
Or we can also inherit words, so just because, you know, kind of our families or friends or community uses something like that word, so we use it as part of our vocab, because that's what you call it.
Well, a lot of words are very, you know, the dialect words are very descriptive. My dad was all, you know, stuff got clammed up, and if he stayed there last with a lot of lipstick and that on, you know, well, she's all clammed up with paint, he used to say that sort of thing. Yeah. But I can't think of only Mitch just at present.
Do you have any? What do you call the blue string that you may use on your farm? Might be white. Oh, farm.
What you mean, band? Used to be massive band, now it's all plastic, isn't it? Yeah. Which is very useful, but tobacco it gets everywhere, doesn't it? That's the trouble with microplastics, you know.
Because when they did this in the 50s, there was kind of little pockets that would call it Charlie Turner as well.
Oh, Charlie Band,
Charlie Band,
yeah. Sometime. And Massey Harris Band, obviously. Mm. Well, of course, it went band, you know, when it was on band, as it was Massey Harris Band, as it was Massey Harris Band.
We just call it Baylor Band.
A bit of Twiney, funny enough.
You're not
calling it? We do it a Baylor Band, get a bit of band.
Yeah. Band. Like when I was a kid, it was nearly all a Massey Harris band, or even Massey Harris. They didn't bother with band bit, like. But yeah, but definitely band. Yeah.
And there was also saying about the Yantan Tetherer as well, you know, over in the Dales and the different ways of counting their sheep, where they put like pebbles in one pocket to keep count.
It was
of
when
how
they got
many...
to 10, they were yeah. So, Yantan Tetherer.
Count like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tetherer, Tetherer, Feather, Pimp. And then it goes on to the.
I can't do it.
No. Home fritter dick. While it gets to 20, didn't it? And I can't remember. But they're all just a little bit different, but they're all very similar, aren't they? Mm. And it's very similar to counting in Welsh, isn't it?
Ah.
It's Celtic. It's hard, you know, it's harder than.
It's not something we do, but it's one of my colleagues who's based up up that way. Mm. You know, she was.
But they'll have a different. Like they'll be different in Swaledale to Wensleydale to Nidderdale. They're all just slightly different, but they're, you know, a similar sort of thing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even explaining some of the sheep terms to people is quite hard. You know, your gimmer and your hog.
Aye,
and your...
gimmers and weathers and tips and yowls. Yeah. Aye.
And shearlings.
aye.
I don't think there's any others. I'm trying to think in my head. Did you do any shear, just before I turned it off, did you do any, do you still hand shear your sheep, or do you?
Last year was the first year I am doing these inside sheep at home, all on them. Right. I've only done a few. This year, there was, you know, before we got clipped, there was I had Yano had a marker toe and I clipped it, and I've clipped Yano toe that I've bowed after we got t'others done, and just odds and ends I've done this time. But yeah, up to last year, I used to do, well, I think round about 100 I would clip behind, but I didn't do, you know, I didn't set on and do them all, yeah, I did out like that. You know, I'd maybe get them in afternoon and do 20, something like that. I wouldn't. But you can do about 4 in an hour, if you know, I'll be well, like. Yeah, yeah, I like doing it, really, but it's, you know, my back and my leg hurts, and it's finning time, because you've other things to do now, like, into plenty on us, yeah. But I milk my hand every day, I always milk something.
You still do?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, I always milk a bit of something, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever has a bit of milk on it. It's a sin to buy milk.
And do your, I'm guessing then your cows know exactly what time milking is, and just do they just saunter up?
No, because I'm milking goats at present.
Oh, you're milking goats? Sorry,
Fower goats I'm milking at present. And Yana told me just taking a drop off that I've sold kids and they've how much milk, so I just take a soap off them just to stop them going around it bag like. But yeah, but very often when if goats dry up, because I with having a billy, but they're nearly all a scary kid, because if you don't get a kid, they'll keep milking through.
Yeah.
But you get a hell of a job when you have a billy not ending up with me kid, like, because they're fairly determined. so then, if I have a cow, what if I sell a calf off it or spin it, and then I'll milk a cow for a bit of winter time while goats is dry, like. You know, I'll tie a cow or two up, get cows and milk, and just a drop for those for me, son.
Yeah. Mm.
And do goats come in just the same as cows then? Yeah, do they know their timing?
Yeah,
you know?
They're pretty good goats, aye. And they've been stopping in, you know, because like fences, aren't they, just delay them a bit. They're a bit bad to, but they run down this low side. And they haven't been out until this last week, and they've said, and they ain't put any grub out at pheasant feeders next door. It would, but they started going out because they think something must trigger them to think that it's time they feed these pheasants. And we're out at pheasant feeders. Like. But they're shifty, because if they hear a car, they're back in the wood out of sight, like, out of road. But the trouble is, they come to, it's easy, oh, we ain't going all that way, and we'll come back bit road, so they end up coming back in bit road, so you know what they're being done like. But I don't think there's any. But if it was a sheep or a beast, they'd kill the sens. But the acne, weight, and never seems to bother them like blooming goats. It'll be like their muck will be full of it. I'll be getting myself into bother with it.
Oh, well, Ian, is there anything else you'd like to share with us? About farming, about you, about life, about words, dialect, language, traditions, anything?
Well, I will say that folks going about words and dialect and that, but it's not altogether just words, is it?
Nope.
You know, it's about sort of a way of thinking and everything. You know, a lot of them words are, well, they're very descriptive, aren't they? And they're sort of, you know, they're replacing by words that aren't quite right, are they? Like, if you say what I mean. Like, when my dad, we had a scale book of his, and I didn't know where the hell it went, and he was at Ward Newton at that time, and he'd put on it, I think it was his day book, you know, and it said, calves got out and travelled weshy not lan. And it had all been corrected, and it was the calves escaped and chewed the washing on the line. Well, I suppose technically that, but calves got out and travelled washing up line is a hell of a lot more descriptive than what the translation was. And there are a lot of them words are very useful, aren't they?
Definitely.
But anyway. Yeah. It's trouble, like, isn't it? If folks don't use them, nobody know. You can't tell to folks, you know, half at time. Like I went into Pickering and asked for a little steak pint, butchers, and that one was for a Loughton or somewhere when I'll come out, you know. So what do you do, like, you know? So you're eighty, you know. But then, like, everybody says that I'm very, you know, very broad spoken, but that's even when I'm trying not to be, like. I never noticed, my partner Sarah said, because she reckons she's tuned into Radio Ian. But I'd never realised, but she said about this past tense thing and all, like putting and cutting. Like I said, oh, I've cut 3 fields today. And she had never noticed that while she pointed it out, like.
Yeah. No, it's when it's natural to you and it's just the way you speak.
Well, I mean, that's what it was. I had cotton.
There was one last thing before I start it off. There was one of the questions that the original researchers asked when they were coming around was about the different names for donkeys.
Ah, Fuzzocks.
So there was Fuzzock for Yorkshire and a Neddy, and then there was also ones like a Nazareth, which seemed to, you know.
No, I had an art friend who was from Redcar, and he used to call them Jerusalem Cuckoos, which I think's a hell of a name for them.
How the heck did he get that?
Because at noise, a Jerusalem Cuckoo. Yeah,
That's a good one.
It's for Redcar, and he used to call them Jerusalem Cuckoos.
But you say Neddy.
But if I said a Fuzzock, you'd know it was
Neddy. Oh,
aye.
Yeah,
oh, aye. So you said Neddy there, didn't you?
Neddy as well, yeah.
That's a horse, isn't it?
Well, no. It was what was gathered during the first one.
Well, Jenny's is females and Jack's is males.
Yeah.
And Ginnets are opposite of a mule, aren't they? Because a mule's be a stallion donkey out of a mare. And Ginnets be a stallion horse out of a Fuzzock.
Oh, I don't know. There was quite a lot of horse.
I won't say many Ginnets in my. I essay them, but they're more like horse about eared, whereas mules is more like a Fuzzock, aren't they? They're a bit smarter, is a Ginnet.
Because they did quite a lot of research into the Cleveland Bay horses.
Oh.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for chatting to us. I shall turn the recorder off.